God, I believe you'll work all things for good. God, I believe from heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. And I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working.
Oh, you're working
all things for good.
Oh, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles, signs and wonders. Everything in the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Oh, we say, come alive in the name of Jesus. Oh, come alive
in the name of Jesus.
Oh, this is a house of miracles. We bring it all. We bring it all.
Everything to the feet of
Jesus. Oh, every day. Goes back to I still, because I thought it was going to go, and then, yeah, it breaks, because otherwise we're just going blah, 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 go I still believe you're moving right after the instrumental. Come alive. Yeah, soft, right?
In the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is the house of miracles. We bring everything.
And then it goes all the way out. Hannah didn't bring me my headphones. She's making me really upset.
Tell you what?
Tell me if you like the format I use.
Okay.
What's up, Keisha? What up? What? See the word wake?
Looks good.
Especially because the verse is low, so I can't sing it as loud. As I was saying.
Turn Gwen's mic up, please. Okay, turn it up. Hers up.
Hi.
Okay.
Hello, hello,
awesome.
Hello. Is it better?
Musical break tells you where to stop.
Yeah.
And then here we go. Chorus one, twice.
Wake within me, you're in my heart forever.
helpful. Musical break, you see that? Now we're in chorus. Da-da-da-da. I'll leave it right here. Now, one, two, ready, and.
You wake within me, wake within me. You're in my heart forever. You wake within me, wake within me. You're in my heart forever.
You see your bridge words? Do you understand what they're saying? Three times. I want you to look up at those words right now, real quick, because I want you to know what you're looking at.
All right, can we do it one more time then?
We got time. What? Yeah, let's practice it one more time. Now you're gonna use these words, okay? All right. I don't want you to force this, especially the low. It's like, no, light.
Love is here to stay by my side in my life, shining through me every day.
Go back a slide.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go back one slide, please. Go back a slide to the bridge.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Go back one slide, please.
Yep, I got you.
There we go.
See where it says at three and then one?
Forever.
Push, don't go soft.
Forever.
It's supposed to be forever, forever in your love, forever, forever in your love, forever, forever in your love, forever. We know that.
And then you go into the
Yeah, the bridge. That's exactly what I've written down.
It is. But he's saying we need to do it one more time.
We did it four, so she does three soft, one loud, or, okay. Yeah, two soft. All right.
Forever,
all right, let me edit it then.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
It's forever, forever in your love three times, and then the fourth time is forever, forever. We know that you will never. Okay.
That's what I just said. So am I correcting this? Because that's what I got.
That's what we did.
Forever, forever, forever in your love. Forever, forever, forever in your
We should go over all three, me, you, and Monique, after the, I mean, we should go over all of those whenever we come in and how we sing together.
Yeah.
Make it really tight. That would really be good.
Hey.
Forever, forever, forever.
Straight to you.
Yeah.
like Seinfeld. I know, I love that part. Jerry, thank you. Watch that. It's very funny. Yes.
Lovely. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? For Mother's Day.
Thank you. Thank you. dreams come alive. Life is for living with you. I made my decision.
Come on, you lift me up.
You lift me up, fill my eyes with wonder. For every young in your love, this freedom's untainted. With you, no moment is waste.
Come on, see each other like this. Let's go.
embrace the pudding on the fall. I hear your voice, God. God, I hear your voice. I.
All the things I know now, I wish I knew. I tried so hard, did all I could do. Now I hear your voice, God. God, I hear your voice. So I'm gonna lift my hands up high. And I won't lose sight. On you, lose sight. On you, Lord.
Well, good morning, Ascend Church. We want to invite you to worship with us today as we give praise and worship and glory and honor to our God. Amen. Those of you watching from home, we encourage you to stand up wherever you are and give God some praise this morning because He is worthy. Amen. And to all the mothers, happy Mother's Day.
There is a shadow, and that has ever overcome your life. And there is no rival that could ever stand against your mind. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, you've already won. There is no army that has power to conquer truth. There is no army has the power to conquer truth. You've always been with us. Battle you've already won. You've already won. Show me one thing it can't move. Show me a mountain it can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me waters he can't part. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible. There is a kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light. In His kingdom, every dead thing is bound to rise. Oh God, our Redeemer, He is faithful to revive. Oh, yes, He will revive.
Come on and sing it out with me.
Oh, show me one thing He can't do. Show me a mountain He can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Oh, we believe it.
Show me one. All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
Come on.
All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
Oh,
all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out. I will crush disappointment.
Show me.
Show me one thing He can do. Show me a mountain He can move. He's the God of the breakthrough. Anything is possible.
Oh, yes, He is. Show me.
Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters He can't part.
Oh,
He's the God of the breakthrough. And anything is possible. Is possible.
Oh, we believe You're praise in this place. shout unto God with a voice of triumph. If you know you serve a miracle working God, who through him all things are possible, I want you to give him praise this morning.
Everybody sing along with me. This is my favorite song.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Come on and sing it with me.
Cause all my life you been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Here we go. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. And in darkest night, you are close like no other. And I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
You in this moment. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We just give you glory this morning. Church, I just encourage you to reach in this moment. Hallelujah, because the presence of God is in this place. And where the presence of God is, there's miracles, okay? So this can be a house of miracles this morning. And we just bless them in advance for it. Come on, church.
This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. our hearts are full of faith. You have our full attention. You have the final say. So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of resurrection power. Your blood runs through my veins. Your kingdom triumphs over. Even the cold is brave. We sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Oh, we say,
come alive in the name of Jesus.
Come alive
in the name of Jesus.
God, I believe you. Oh, all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe your working. All things for good. I still believe
your moving. I still believe your speaking. God, I believe your working.
All things for good. I fix my eyes
on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe your word. All things for good.
Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
In the name of Jesus, this is a house of miracles. fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. Let's declare it. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. Fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe your word. All things for good.
Wanna shout amen. Seal it with amen.
Thank you, Lord. I still believe he's moving. Believe he's speaking. And you know, when we sing that, I fix my eyes on heaven, you know that if you come today and all you get is a new insight, spiritual insight that God is moving and working and speaking today, then you've received something that'll carry you through. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. So glad you're here. Turn and greet someone. You may be seated.
All the women we're blessed to know. We rejoice over you, for your strength, your wisdom, your strong love, your beautiful faith. Whether today is a celebration for you or a day of quiet reflection and healing, we're thinking of all of you. If you gave birth this year to your first child, our joy overflows and we celebrate with you. If you adopted a child this year or became a foster parent, we rejoice with you, and we want to honor you in your commitment to changing the lives of children. If you continue to struggle with infertility, we are hoping with you and holding your hand in prayer. If you are exhausted and feeling underappreciated for all you do for a house full of kids, we applaud you, we love you, and we appreciate you more than you can ever imagine. And if you lost a child this year to death or miscarriage, we weep and mourn with you. And if your child is lost to addiction or to the world, we hurt with you. And we join you in putting our hope in the one who brings prodigals home. If you live with painful memories of your mom, we pray that you will find in a spiritual mother all that you never had from a birth mom. And if you're one of those amazing spiritual moms, we thank you for stepping up and being there when others couldn't. If you're experiencing an empty nest for the first time this year, We walk with you in this new season and are excited about the next chapter God has planned for you. If you're single, we celebrate your strength, beauty, and individuality, and join with you in praying for the desires of your heart. If you're a single mom and wonder if you have the physical energy and financial resources to raise and provide for your child or children, we want to help you, and we will. And if you're pregnant for the first time, we prayerfully anticipate with you the joyful birth of a healthy child. And to all the special women on this Mother's Day, rest and delight in knowing that we are thankful for you, and we celebrate each and every one of you.
Awesome. Who's thankful for their mother? Amen. Thankful. Happy Mother's Day to you all. Just want to, I see some tears. Look at Maria. It moves you, doesn't it? You know, motherhood, I was thinking about in the Bible, there was, in one passage, there's Ruth and Naomi in one passage, and you see kind of the whole spectrum of motherhood there, because you have Ruth who is a daughter-in-law to Naomi. Naomi's older. And you have Ruth who's having a new marriage, new children. So she has this motherhood just all in front of her. Then you have Naomi who's lost her children. And Ruth stays with her, and she's not even her own daughter. And when she gets married, she has children, and Naomi helps her to raise her children. So there's many forms that motherhood takes. And I don't know what point you're at. I think we probably have someone across the whole spectrum today. We have people that are, we were talking to someone this morning who just saw an ultrasound for the first time of a new baby coming. And that is, there's no joy like that. We have parents that have buried children this year, and that's, there's no pain like that. And so we just lift all you moms up. You know, I believe that motherhood takes many forms. It's us as young mothers, then as older mothers, then as grandmothers, then as the video said, spiritual mothers. Because maybe there's, your mom's not here on the earth. There's many people that step in and just take that role. So we just thank each and every one of you for what you do for your families. I know sometimes we want to pray for you, because if you love so deeply, you can hurt very deeply when your children aren't going the right way, and we just want to lift you up and encourage you. But why don't we just have every mom just stand in this place, and we're going to pray for you. Come on, let's give them a big thank you for all. Make it loud, men. Make it loud. What would you do without them? I saw someone put this. They said the questions to mom is, where is this? What can I do? What can I eat? When are we going to go? And all this multitude of questions. And the only question to dad is, where's mom? Right? It's about, sums it up. So let's just stretch our hands out to these moms today, and let's just bless them. Father God, we thank you for each and every woman in this room today. Thank you for the anointing on her life to be a mother to her children. Father, every one of us has regrets, and if we could go back and do it again, we would. But we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for a new start. Thank you for strengthening us in our weaknesses. Thank you for filling them, each one of them, with wisdom for the days and the years ahead. Thank you for filling their mouth with wise words that will help their children to grow and get ahead, Father. Thank you for words, spiritual words that will draw their children closer to Jesus. And Father, we just cover them in prayer. Just make this year one of joy and strength and fulfillment in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless all the moms. Seriously, if my kids clap for me like that, they wouldn't eat today. But give me that gift, Stevie. When you leave today, Monique has put a lot of cupcakes out there for you. And we have a gift for each of the moms. So just won't you please take one as you leave. We hope that it'll be a blessing to you. And I just want to welcome everyone to church this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad that you're joining us today. If it's one of our Ascend Church members and you're not back in church yet, we've been getting a lot of messages saying, I'll be back next week. Some of the people that were going to be back this week are seeing their moms today, but we miss you. If you're staying away for anything other than health reasons, come back to church. Amen. And we're glad that you're joining, and we pray that everything that we are receiving in this room, you receive right where you are in your home. Amen. And we want to welcome our first-time visitors. If you're here for the first time today, now I asked for this, now it gets in my way. If you're here for the first time today, maybe you came with someone, maybe your mom dragged you here because she said, that's what I want for Mother's Day. If you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. We love having you here. If you would just make sure to wave your hand one so that the ushers can see you. They're going to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. We just, okay, they'll get to you. Just thanks, Joey. Wave it again. Thank you. And in there's a couple of things, one being a guest card. And we ask if you just take a moment, fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that guest card in, and Pastor Steve would love to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. And we pass a register during the service. And why don't you just mark that you're here? It's one way that Pastor Steve's able to, we're able to monitor and see if there's anyone who has any need. You know, the Bible says that Jesus would leave the 99 to go for the one. But if you don't know that the one is not, it needs you. So that's what those registers are for, is just to help us with attendance. So thank you for doing that. If you don't receive our weekly text and you would like to, you just text the word ASCEND to 313131 and we'll send that to you. Just to remind you of the different platforms on which you can watch us, and I say this for those watching online because there's times where people who like favor Facebook Live and then that goes down for a week. There's also YouTube, ASCEND Church Jupiter. There's our website, which is ascendchurch.us. There's our mobile app, and of course on Sunday morning on Fox 29 at 7:30. So that's for people out there. That's we don't do that. This service today will be on next week or the week after on TV, and that's for people who haven't yet decided to come into church, and we want to just give them a little foretaste so that they want to come to church. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to remind you as we begin the service, as we get to the message, the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God better than you do, and that you would find freedom in every area of your life, that you would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen? We ready for that? Praise God. I'm looking forward to this message. I always get a little preview.
Yes.
Or a long preview.
You do. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Who said that? I know Dimini did. Who else said that? Tell your neighbor, it is good to see you today. In the house of God, the house of miracles, isn't that right? We want to honor all the moms. I honor my mother today who's here with us today. And the Bible says to honor your mother and your father, that it may go well with you, that you may live long life on the earth. And I honor my mother for everything that you've done, the sacrifices you made. And my mom, you know, kind of brought me to church, brought me to Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Thank God for praying mothers, right? Right. Well, are you ready for God's word this morning? Father, we thank you today that you are so good to us, Lord. All of our life, your goodness has followed after us. We thank you, Lord, today that we can count and trust and depend upon you, that we never have to worry, we never have to be afraid, we never have to be anxious or even concerned, Lord, because you're always with us, and you said that we are to give all of our worries to you and that you take care of it. And Father, I pray tonight, today, as I speak your word, that I thank you, you anoint me, you anoint your word, and I thank you that you cause understanding to come to every person's mind, and you bring revelation, and our faith rises up big today, Lord. I thank you that all doubt and unbelief will be removed today, and we give you the praise for everything that will be said and everything that will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise to God. Thank you to our worship team, our singers and musicians who always do such a great job. And that was a Stevie Wonder song, Isn't She Lovely? Isn't She Lovely? Praise the Lord. Well, did you bring your Bible to church today, anybody? I haven't asked that in a long time. Well, that's good, Lucas. Hold it up. Come on, Lucas has got his Bible. Hold up your Bible if you bring your Bible. Bring your Bible to church. You need to bring your Bible to church. Oh, it's on your phone, huh? Praise the Lord. Well, hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. And if you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you to come visit our church. I promise you, we have such friendly people. They'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have a great time at our Ascend Kids Church. And so we hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Now, today, I want to speak to you today about God's got this. Tell your neighbor, God's got this. You know, when Joshua took over leadership from Moses, I mean, can you imagine following after Moses? Imagine taking Moses' position. I imagine he must have been a little intimidated. But you know what the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 5, he said to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. In verse 9, it says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged, for I am the Lord, and I will be there to help you wherever you go. Now, do you know that God has said the same thing to you? The very same thing. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said in verse 20, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Passion Bible says, never forget that I am with you every day. Never forget I'm with you every day. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I will never abandon you or leave you. Same thing God said to Joshua. I'll never abandon you. I'll never leave you. In Hebrews 13 verse 5 from the Living Bible, it says, for God has said, I will never, never fail you nor forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Say, I will say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I'll have no fear. In Romans 8, verse 31, it says, if God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? Amen. Say, God is always with me. Say, God is always for me. You could say it like this, God's got your back. Amen. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. The Passion Bible says it like this, do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. You know why we never have to be afraid? Is because we know the Lord is always with us, and He's always with us to help us in every situation. David said in Psalm 37, verse 5, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. Everything you do, commit it unto the Lord. Trust Him. And the Bible says, He'll help you. The Passion Bible says, give God the right to direct your life. And as you trust Him along the way, you'll find He pulled it off perfectly. Let me tell you, God's plan for your life is much better than your plan for your life. God has an amazing plan for your life. The scripture says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, to prosper you, not to harm you, give you hope, give you a future. God has a plan for our life. And the Bible says if we'll give God the right to direct our life, if we'll put our trust in Him and commit everything unto Him, He will help you in every situation and you'll find out, man, He pulled it off perfectly. That's another way of saying God's got this. Amen. But let me tell you, in order for God to help you, you have to first commit it to Him. God wants you to give Him all your worries, all your cares, all your anxieties, all your concerns, all your needs. He wants you to give it over to Him. David said in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He'll sustain you. The New Living Bible says, give your burdens to the Lord, and He'll take care of it for you. He'll not permit the godly to slip or fall. The Message Bible says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. The Passion Bible says, here's what I've learned through it all. Leave all your cares and anxieties at the feet of the Lord, and measureless grace will strengthen you. We sang it this morning. We sang the song, House of Miracles. I bring everything to the feet of Jesus. I commit everything unto the Lord. I trust Him in every situation and every part of my life. The Apostle Peter said the same thing in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. He says, casting the whole of your care, not some of it, the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns on Him. He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. The New Living Translation says, give all your worries and cares to God. The Living Bible says, let Him have all your worries and cares, for He is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. You have to give your worries to God. If you want Him to take care of it, you have to give them over to Him. Because let me tell you, God won't take your worries from you. You have to give them to Him. When you give your worries and cares to God and then you leave it with Him, don't keep on taking it back, because that's what a lot of people do. The Bible says it in the Passion Translation of 1 Peter 5, verse 7, it says, pour all your worries and stress upon Him and leave them there. For He always tenderly cares for you. A lot of times what we do is we give our worries to God and then we take it right back. You got to leave it with Him. The Apostle Paul said the same thing, Philippians 4 verse 6. He said, don't worry about anything. What part of that do we not understand? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. You see, giving your worries and cares to God is not being irresponsible. It is proving that's how you show God you trust Him. God says we must not worry. He's always with us. Give our worries and cares to Him and trust Him to take care of it. We all have things come against us. We all have challenges. It's easy to live uptight and wonder, you know, how's this ever going to work out? What if the medical report, you know, isn't good? What if my finances don't get better? What if my child doesn't get accepted in that school? We try to figure it out, but we've done our best, but we don't see anything that changing. If you're not careful, you'll end up living worried and discouraged, not expecting it to get any better. But there's a simple phrase that I want you to get down in your spirit. And this is what it is. God's got this. I want you to get that down in your heart. God's got this. He's on the throne. He sees what's happening. He already has the solution. Let me tell you, you don't have to try and figure it out. There may not be a logical answer in the natural. You may not see a way out of it, but that's okay because we serve a supernatural God, and He's got ways that you never even thought about. And instead of trying to force it to happen and live worried and stressed out and anxious, you got to let go and let God. You got to turn it over to Him. Say, Lord, I know You got this. I know You're in control. I know this is an easy thing for You. There's nothing too hard for You. Lord, I know You got this. Not only will you feel the heaviness lift off of you, but let me tell you, when you do that, then God will make things happen that you could never make happen. And some of the things that are frustrating you right now and causing you to lose sleep at night, it would all change if you would have this new perspective. God's got this. Because sometimes we try to play God. We're trying to make our boss promote us. We're trying to make ourselves get well. We're trying to make the contract go through. But as long as you're trying to force it and living worried and frustrated, really, God steps back. But when you hand it and give it over to Him and you say, Lord, I know You've got this. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about my finances. I'm not going to live up tight because of the medical report. I'm not going to be frustrated because I haven't met the right person. I trust Your timing, Lord. I trust Your ways. My life is in Your hands, Lord. See, God never said we wouldn't have difficulties, but God promised He'd give us strength for every battle. He'd take what was meant for our harm, and He'd use it to our advantage. He'd make all things work together for our good. And you might have a good reason to worry about something, maybe in your health or your finances or maybe a dream. You've done everything that you can. It doesn't look like it's going to work out. I want to encourage you today to stay in faith. Because God is saying to you, I've got this. I'm working behind the scenes. I'm in the process of turning it around. It's just a matter of time before you see things change in your favor. Amen. See, you've got to live from a place of peace and trust. Because it may not happen the way you thought it would. Because God's ways are better than our ways. And God knows what is best for you. And God's got this. In the scripture, there was a young man named Daniel. He'd been taken captive to Babylon, and he ended up working for King Darius. And the king loved Daniel. Daniel was really good. He excelled at what he did. And the king wanted to put Daniel in charge of his whole empire. But when the other leaders heard about this, they were jealous. And they came up with a plan to get rid of Daniel. See, when you excel, when your gifts come out in great ways, don't be surprised. Not everybody's happy about it. Not everybody will celebrate you. Some people will try and find fault. Some people try and hold you back. But here's the good news. I'm so glad that people do not determine my destiny. God is the one who determines your destiny. And if you just keep being your best, let God fight your battles. Don't get distracted trying to prove who you are. Let me tell you, God will be your vindicator. God will take care of your enemies. The people that were against Daniel, they tried to manipulate the king. They went to the king and they said, King Daniel, you know, you're so great, King. We've written this decree that for the next 30 days, no one can pray to anybody except to you. If they do, they're going to be thrown into a den of lions, a lion's den. The reason they did this is because they knew that Daniel prayed three times every day, morning, noon, and evening. And they convinced the king to sign this law, this decree. But that didn't change Daniel. He carried on praying three times a day, just like normal. He opened his windows of his house and he prayed out to God. There was a law, you can't pray to anyone except the king. Just like they try to make it, you can't go to church until we tell you you can go to church. Let me tell you, it's the same spirit. If you don't see that, it's the same spirit. They ran back, they told the king, that guy Daniel, one of those captives, is, you know, we took from Judah, he's defying your order, king. He's praying three times a day like normal, and the king was upset with himself because he realized they'd manipulated him, but he couldn't go back on his word, on his decree, so he had Daniel sent to the lion's den. And what's interesting to me is the whole night long, the king was fasting for Daniel. When you're in difficult situations, can I tell you, God has people praying for you that you don't know anything about. This king was supposed to be his enemy, but he's actually believing for Daniel's safety. The king said in Daniel 6, verse 16, he said, your God, to whom you are so loyal, he's going to get you out of this, Daniel. The king who threw him in the lion's den is telling him, don't worry, your God's going to get you out of it. What was the king saying? He was saying, listen, God's got this. God, your God has got this. When they arrested Daniel, they took him to the lion's den. You know, Daniel wasn't afraid. Daniel wasn't worried. He wasn't panicking. He understood this principle. Because just a little while earlier, Daniel had seen his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And they came out of it without even the smell of smoke. So Daniel's attitude was, God's got this. He's got me in the palm of his hand. Nothing can snatch me away. If it's not my time to go, I'm not going to go. He stayed in peace. Do you know the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Can I tell you something right now? You don't have to be afraid about dying. So people are so terrified of dying that they'll do anything you say. They'll wear five masks, stop going to church, stop doing, oh, because I might die. What's the big deal? To die is gain. Don't mourn for me when I die. I know where I'm going to. Paul was saying, listen, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I go to be with Christ. Either way, I'm going to stay in faith because I know God's got this. I mean, I can't lose either way. See, what you're facing, it may be bigger, may be stronger, may be more powerful. But when you refuse to worry and instead you stay in peace, you thank God he's fighting your battles. You are showing God by your actions that you're trusting him. Amen. One evening, the authorities came. They threw Daniel into that lion's den. They expected him to be eaten in a matter of minutes because these were hungry lions. But what happened? God sent an angel to shut the lions' mouths. God made Daniel unappetizing to those lions. When those lions looked at Daniel, they were confused. I imagine they thought to themselves, man, we should eat this man because we like a good steak dinner. But something's different tonight. For some reason, we don't have our normal appetite. Can I tell you, God knows how to make you unappetizing to the enemy? What should normally take you out? What should normally defeat you? Can I tell you, for some reason, it can't harm you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. It can't stop your business. It can't take your health. Amen. Because let me tell you, God's got a hedge of protection about you and around your family. God controls the universe. He controls the lions. He controls your enemy. Amen. You're not at the mercy of random events, people wanting to do you wrong, bad breaks. God's got a hedge of protection about you. Nothing can happen without his permission. That's why we don't have to live worried or or anxious or fearful. We're in a controlled environment. When the Hebrew teenagers were about to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the idols set up to King Nebuchadnezzar, they said in Daniel 3 verse 16, they said, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you, O king. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve, he is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your power, your majesty." Does it sound like someone who's worried? Were they down? Oh, please, please, oh, please, please don't throw us in. They said, "Listen, you want to throw us in? Throw us in. We're not worried about it. Our God's able to deliver us, and he will rescue us. But even if he doesn't rescue us, we want to make it clear to you that we will never serve your gods, and we will never bow down to the gold idol you set up." Let me tell you, there's a lot of Christians been bowing down. A lot of Christians been bowing down. Let me tell you, the day, if I have to beg you to go to church, I have to question. There's something wrong when a Christian has to be begged to go to church. Well, it's dangerous. To live is Christ, to die is gain. What you worried about? They weren't panicked. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they weren't upset. They knew they were in a controlled environment. They were saying, like Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain." Man, if we live, we're going to give God praise. If we don't, when we go to heaven, we're going to still give God praise. They stayed in faith, knowing God has the final say. And yes, at some point, can I tell you, we're all going to die. But I made up my mind. I'm going to die in faith. I'm going to die believing, expecting, trusting, praising, knowing God is in complete control. Nothing can snatch you out of his hands. The Bible says the number of your days he will fulfill. In life and in death, you've got to know God's got this. Amen. In the lion's den that night, Daniel wasn't uptight. He wasn't on edge, afraid. He went to sleep. The Bible says he went to sleep. Do you know animals can sense when you're afraid? And they can sense when you're confident, when you're calm. They know you're the authority. I mean, we've been on safari a number of times, and they'll tell you, if you encounter an animal in the bush, the worst thing you can do is start running. Because they're going to run right after you. No. You got to be still. Just be calm. Slowly back up. Real slow. Let me tell you, the same way, when you face enemies in life, the enemy of sickness, the enemy of lack, those enemies can sense when you're afraid of them. They'll take more ground. That's why the scripture says in Ephesians 4:27, do not give any place to the devil. Don't give any room to the enemy. In James 4 verse 7, it says, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will flee in agony. When the enemy sees you standing strong, thanking God when you could be complaining, being good to people when you could be bitter, giving your worries and cares and anxieties to the Lord and trusting him, when you're at peace instead of being panicked, you're sending a message to those enemies that loud and clear, it says, you got no power over me. You cannot stop me. My God is in control. If he is for me, who dare be against me? No weapon formed against me can ever prosper. Amen. See, instead of worrying, Daniel found a nice soft spot of grass and he laid down and he went to sleep. I mean, I can't even imagine. You ever been up close to a lion? I've been as close to a lion as you are to me right now, 5-6 feet away. We were on safari and we were in an open vehicle. I dropped my blanket by mistake. I dropped it out of the vehicle. You're not supposed to drop anything out of the vehicle. Well, these lions are all around us. They grabbed that blanket. They took it. They were playing with the blanket. The last thing I'm going to do is jump out and try and get my blanket back. You ever seen a lion? Lordy, lordy. Daniel went to sleep. Early the next morning, the king came running to the lion's den. He wanted to see what happened. In Daniel 6:20, when he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God." He changed his tune. "Servant of the living God, was your God whom you worship continually able to rescue you from the lions?" Notice how the king addressed Daniel. Daniel's in the lion's den because he was worshiping a different God. He's in the lion's den by the king's decree, yet the king is calling him servant of the living God. Even the king knew there's something different about Daniel. He serves the living God, the only God. In verse 21, Daniel answered, he said, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I've been found innocent in his sight. I've not wronged you, your majesty." The king was so overjoyed, he ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Let me tell you, amazing things happen. Amazing things happen when you stay calm and when you trust in God. God not only protected Daniel, but the king ordered the men that had conspired against Daniel that they be thrown into the lion's den, but their outcome was a little different to Daniel's outcome. The Bible says the king commanded that the conspirators who had informed on Daniel be thrown in the lion's den along with their wives and their children. Watch out who you marry, man. Before they hit the floor, the lions had them in their jaws, tearing them to pieces. I watched the lion. We watched the lion kill a buck, and they ate it. They crunched the bones. In 5 minutes, all that was left was a pair of horns and the hooves and the contents of the stomach. Everything was gone. It says, King Darius published this proclamation to every race, every color, every creed on earth. Peace be to you. I decree that Daniel's God shall be worshipped and feared in all parts of my kingdom. He is the living God. It says, he is the living God. His kingdom never fails. His rule continues eternally. He is a savior. He is a rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven, on earth. He saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Praise God. But here's the key. God doesn't deliver us from every difficulty. Most of the time, God takes us through that difficulty. See, Daniel's faith didn't keep him out the lion's den, but his faith made him lion-proof. That's what brought him out of the lion's den. But if Daniel or those three teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they'd been worried, fearful, panicked, negative, let me tell you, they would have had a very different outcome. We probably wouldn't be talking about them today. But they trusted in God. I'm asking you today to stop worrying about what you're facing, to stop losing sleep over that child that's not doing right, to stop being upset because somebody did you wrong or because a dream hasn't come to pass yet. Listen, can I tell you, God has got this. Like he did for Daniel, he's going to make a way where you can't see a way. Like he did for those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God's going to protect you. God's going to favor you. God's going to get you where you're supposed to be. Amen? God's got this. David said in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me." The Living Bible says you are close beside me, guarding and guiding me all the way. Even when I go through the darkest valley, Lord, I know you're with me. I know you're guiding me. I know you're protecting me. I will not be afraid. Let me tell you, God is not just with you on the mountaintops. God's also with you in the valleys. When you're going through things, let me tell you, God knows what you're up against. The scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Let him have all your worries and all your cares, for he is always thinking about you, and he is always watching everything that concerns you." God knows every single thing that you're facing. In Matthew 10, 29, Jesus said, "But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered." Do you know God knows how many hairs on your head? With some of us, he knows how many you started out with and how many you got now. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Don't be afraid. If God knows a sparrow that falls to the ground, he knows every detail of your life. Don't be afraid. The Passion Bible says, "Don't worry, for your Father cares deeply about even the smallest detail of your life." You know, God is concerned about everything that's happening in your life. Trust Him. Live from a place of peace. Commit everything to Him. This is a decision you have to make on a daily basis. Because let me tell you, every day, how many of you know, things pop up that you can worry about? Am I the only one? Every day there's a reason to get upset. But all through the day, you've got to keep this phrase in your heart. God's got this. He's concerned about me. He's working in my life. He's bigger than my enemies. He's faithful. He's on my side. He's lining up the right people. He's arranging things in my favor. So let me tell you, that attitude of faith, that's what allows God to do amazing things in your life. I remember in 2009, we bought a building on Center Street, and soon afterwards, the economy crashed. It was the worst recession since 1929. It affected our church financially. Our income in our church dropped substantially. We had a mortgage of $26,000 a month. We were unable to make the mortgage payments. We tried to work it out with the bank because our building had dropped $1 million in value, but the bank wouldn't work with us on it, and they filed foreclosure. And we tried all legal options. We offered to lease the building. We ended up having to vacate that building in 2016. I tell you right now, I faced thoughts of discouragement. I felt discouragement come against me. But I kept trusting God. I kept saying, God, I know you got this. And I kept saying, we're going to get a better building. It's going to be in a better location. And it's going to be half the mortgage payment. I kept saying it. And let me tell you, God made happen what I couldn't make happen. Out of the blue, I got a call from the owner of this building, Joe. His name's Joe. And he wanted to meet me. And we met for coffee. He offered to sell us this building. He said, we didn't need a bank. We didn't need a lender, a bank mortgage, because he said, I own it. I'm going to finance it. He said, you don't have to have any money down. I just want you to pay me the 5% interest, just the interest, not the capital. We ended up with our payment being less than half what we were paying before. I mean, it was supernatural. It was like God saying to me, Steve, don't worry, I got this. And you know what? It's easy to look back now and talk about it now. But at the time, it was a huge challenge for me. So let me tell you about a challenge I'm facing right now and how I'm dealing with it the same way now that I dealt with it back then. Amen. I told you last week we sold our house. We got a great price for our house. And we put an offer down on a condo in North Palm. It was accepted. We're under contract. And then one day before our inspection period ended on our house, the buyer of our house canceled the contract. And you can do that without any explanation. And so now we've got a situation. We've got this condo. We really want it. We put a little deposit down, but now the sale of our house was canceled. And so what do you do? Let me tell you, God's got this. God's got this. I immediately started saying, Lord, I thank you that you cause all things to work together for our good. I thank you, Lord, you cause what the enemy meant for our harm. You turn it around and you use it for our good. Amen. I immediately started saying that. I declare our house is sold. And let me tell you right now, we're going to get more money than we did on the last sale. Because me and Mike have been working our little butts off because we've been fixing every little thing because they had a team of inspectors come in and point out everything was wrong. I'm fixing every little thing that was wrong, so I don't want to find anything wrong. And we're declaring our house is sold. Praise God, the sellers of the condo where we want to be, the condo's right on the water there in the intercoastal, they said, when we called them, they said, well, we wanted to sell the condo. It was our dad's condo. He passed away. We wanted to sell it to someone who really wanted to live there. And we want to work with you. They've extended our contract. They want us to be in the home. I'm telling you now, God's got this. It is a done deal. I declare my house is sold. Say, Steve's house is sold. It is sold for more than $900,000. That's what we got last time. Now I'm believing for $925,000. And I'm telling you now, God's got this. I cast the care on Him. I'm not worried about it. In the name of Jesus, it's done. Amen. Move on for me. I know I told that story a little differently. Here, there you go. Here's my question. Are you worrying today about something, maybe your children, maybe your finances, maybe a contract? Are you stressed out over your job, discouraged because of a disappointment, thinking it's not going to work out? Listen, come back to that place of peace. Come back to that place of rest. God has got it. He's directing your steps. He's bringing the right people across your path and across your children's path. Amen. Let me tell you, God has beauty for ashes. Right now, He's working behind the scenes in your life. Dare to trust Him. Dare to believe Him. Because when you worry about it, all you do is tie the hands of Almighty God. He can't help you. As long as you're worrying about it, He doesn't have it. You have it. But when you give it to Him, now He's got it. You don't have it. Amen? And we all face situations that are bigger than we are. A bad medical report. You lost a major client. Trouble in a relationship. It's easy to think of all the reasons why it's not going to work out. That's when you've got to dig your heels in. You've got to switch over to faith. God, I know you got this. I thank you for protecting my children. I thank you for fighting my battles. I thank you for restoring my health. I thank you for providing all of my needs. Amen. When you're tempted to worry, turn it around and thank God that He's working on it. Thank God He's making all things work together for your good. Amen. I can't tell you how that delights the Lord when you keep trusting Him. Daniel could have said, God, it's not fair. I was doing the right thing. I'm praying 3 times a day. I'm serving you faithfully. Why did this happen to me? It's not fair. But let me tell you, sometimes God will allow difficult situations just to prove to you that He's God. God could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den. God could have stopped the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from going into the fiery furnace. But God allows these things to not only show you, but to show others that He is God. Amen? How many of you know when David defeated Goliath, a giant twice his size, it wasn't just so that David could be promoted and honored. That victory was a sign to the Philistines. It was a sign to their enemies, even a sign to the Israelites that God was in control and His hand of favor and blessing was upon them. And some of the battles that God allows in your life, it's not just about you. It's to make a statement to the people around you. That because nothing speaks any louder than when people see God's favor on your life. When they see you overcoming obstacles that should have held you back, defeating giants that were much bigger, accomplishing dreams where you didn't have the expertise. Let me tell you, like the king with Daniel, they will know you serve the true and living God. And not only that, when God brings us through the lion's den and through the fiery furnace, those victories, they are like fuel that feeds your faith. The reason why I'm so confident and I know our house is sold and it's a done deal and that condo's ours, I'm already seeing myself standing on my balcony and praising and worshiping God, looking out on the water. The reason I know it is because He's done it for me in the past so many times that I know He'll do it again. Can you say amen? I get a little excited about this. You need to get a little excited about this. When you face challenges, man, you know if God did it back then, He's going to do it for me again. Don't get discouraged when you face things you don't understand. Obstacles bigger than you are. It's simply an opportunity for God to show who He is. Because it's one thing to believe that God has power. To believe God can do the impossible. That's good. But God wants you to do more than just believe. He wants you to experience His power. He wants to show you His goodness. He wants to show you His favor. David had all kinds of things come against him. Not just giants, but armies came against him. His own family came against him. King Saul came against him. He had plenty of reasons to live worried, afraid, bitter. But David said in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. See, David had this, he lived with this attitude. God's got this. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be upset. I know God's bigger than any obstacle I'm facing. David went on in the same psalm. He went on to say in verse 4, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing that I seek the most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary, and he will place me out of reach on a high rock. And the Passion Bible says he'll lift me high upon a rock, out of reach from all my enemies who surround me. Then I will hold my head up high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear my cry, show me mercy, and send the help I need. You may have enemies coming against you, but you have an advantage. God has placed you out of reach of your enemies. They can't defeat you. They can't keep you from your destiny. If you do, like David, remain confident, keep your peace. Maybe it feels like you're surrounded by an army, but the truth is you're surrounded by God's favor. You're surrounded by the angels of God. The forces that are for you are much greater than the forces that are against you. David said, even if they attack, I won't get upset. Sickness may have attacked you. Addictions may have attacked you. Lack may have attacked you. That's a test. Are you going to get worried? Are you going to get fearful? Or are you going to stay in peace? Are you going to stay in rest? Are you going to remain confident? Are you going to cast all those cares on the Lord, knowing God's done it in the past? He's going to do it again in the future. I love the way David ends his psalm, Psalm 27. In verse 13, he said, yet I am confident. I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And the Living Bible says, I'm expecting the Lord to rescue me again, so that once again I will see his goodness to me here in the land of the living. Don't be impatient. Wait for the Lord, and he will come and save you. Be brave, stout-hearted, courageous. Yes, wait, and he will help you. And the Passion Bible says, I believe with all my heart that I will again see your goodness. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave. Be courageous. Never lose hope. Keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Amen. After all David had been through, you'd think he'd be negative, worried, bitter. God, why me? But he was just the opposite. He said, I'm confident I'll see the Lord's goodness. In other words, I know my God's got this. Is there something weighing you down today? Are you worried about a situation, frustrated by what didn't work out? Or maybe you're down on yourself because you're not where you thought you'd be. But God is saying to you today, I've got this. I've got new beginnings for you. I have healings. I have breakthroughs. I'm asking you today to change your perspective, to switch into faith. That situation you've been worried about, let me tell you, God's got it. That medical report that's keeping you up at night, making you live stressed out, be still and know he is God. He's got this. You might have enemies coming against you, but like Daniel, God placed you out of reach. He made you lion-proof. All through the day when you get tempted to worry, keep this phrase. I want you to remember this. God's got this. No matter what you face, God's got this. If you'll do this, I mean, let me tell you, God, you're going to see God's goodness in amazing ways. You're going to come out of that lion's den. You're going to rise higher. You're going to accomplish dreams. You're going to become everything God created you to be in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it today? Do you receive it today? Did you get something out of this today? Come on, give God some thanks and praise. Give thanks and praise to the Lord today. Lord, we thank you that we can trust in you. We thank you that we can give you all our worries and concerns. We thank you that you are with us wherever we go. You are always ready to help us. We thank you that we don't have to be afraid. We thank you, Lord, that you cause all things to work for our good. We thank you, Lord, that you're on our side, and if God be for us, what can be against us? Lord, we determine today as we go out of this place that we'll never forget God's got this. We'll never be worried. We'll never be fearful. We trust in you in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed for a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. I want to pray right now. I want to pray if there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is well between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain? Can you say that you know for certain where you will spend eternity? Can I tell you the good news is you can walk out of this place today and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every sin, every mistake you ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. You can know when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. You can walk out of here knowing that God is with you. The Lord is with you wherever you go. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray right now, why don't you just slip your hand up high? Just lift your hand up in the air. I'm looking for hands. Hold it up high. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Is there anyone? Praise the Lord. All right. Well, look up at me. Tell your neighbor, God's got this. Say it a bit louder than that. Say, God's got this. Everybody, tell your neighbor, God's got this. Don't remember. Don't forget, I should say, tomorrow or the next day when something happens. Remember, God's got this. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to hand it over to the Lord. He's going to take all things, make them work for my good. I'm telling you right now, you know why I'm not worried? I'm going to get a higher sale price. I'm going to get more money for my house than I did before. It's done. God's got this in the name of Jesus. Watch and see. Anna. Praise the Lord. Welcome Anna this morning. Anna Cartwright. She's going to come and come on, give her a welcome, Anna. I don't know what's wrong with these folks. What a blessing. Anna's going to come and share, encourage us in our giving today.
I'm good to do the offering this morning. Well, we think of all the places we could be this morning. I'm glad I'm in church today. There's plenty of hospitals we could be in, but we're glad we're in church today. And that message, that we could hear that every week almost. Pastor Steve delivers an amazing, encouraging word. And I think we could probably hear that one every week because we tend to forget. We're not supposed to worry, but it kind of creeps back in. So good morning, family, and glad you're all here. Joel had texted me earlier this week and said, would you do the offering? And I was like, sure, I'd be happy to. And the scripture that came to mind is Proverbs 3. It's my favorite, actually. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. In the NIV version, we're going to go ahead and read that. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And then in the Proverbs chapter 9, in the Passion Translation, it kind of lays it out even more. It says that we need to honor the Lord with every increase that comes to us. So it kind of doesn't, leaves no stone unturned. Basically, it's like honor the Lord with your wealth, with your money. If you get your income, your birthday present, your bonus that your boss gave you, that's your increase. And so a tithe is 10%, and your offerings are above your tithe. And so I like this scripture because some of you know I grew up on a farm in Kentucky, and my dad had a big farm there. And any farm kids here today? Anybody else raised on a farm other than my sister Jeannie's here today? She's gonna. But it had a lot of great memories, and there were many barns on my dad's farm, right? So a lot of barns were there. We had a barn for different uses for the barns. Some were for the cattle, some were for farm equipment, some was for wood, some was for the pigs. You know, different years we had different animals. So the horses, and there was one barn that was designated for hay. And my brothers and I would, my dad, he would plant hay crop in spring, and in the hottest month of the year would be August, so you'd have to bale the hay. So we had a machine that would cut the hay, we had a machine that would bale it up, and it would be like this big old bale. It was heavy. And then we'd load up the tractor and the trailer, and we'd go get the hay. I had four brothers. They did all the work. You know, they were the heavy guys, and I usually drove the tractor, which was stressful enough. But anyway, we try not to run over a bale. That was always a fun thing to do. So we would take all these hay bales to the barn. The barn would be empty, right? So my brothers would stack this barn. It was like a architectural feat. They would every space was taken. The barn was full of hay bales, and would stack it up as high as they could. And some years, the barn would just burst with hay. And what happened was, we used that hay to feed the cows, because fall would come, winter would come, the winter months in Kentucky were cold. The spring would come back around, and the barn would start to get empty again. Actually, that's when we liked the barn, because we could make forts and hide in the hay there. But as itchy, sticky stuff kids like to do. Anyway, so the barn would be getting empty, so Daddy had planted another crop in the spring, and so in August we'd go back and repeat it again. So as the barn was getting empty, there was another crop growing, and it would be. And so in my house, then we have a saying. You know, my husband's an entrepreneur, and sometimes years are fatter than other years. And business owners, you can relate to that, I'm sure. And so you're always we've been tithers and givers for 30 years now. And I wouldn't go back. I would not change a thing. It's built my trust in the Lord and how He's taken care of us all these years. And so there's a saying, actually I printed up a sign. I said, Jesus will fill up our barn before we can empty it. So as we are tithers and givers, we can trust Him. And He's proven us true so many times, whether it's in finances or protection of your children or all kinds of ways. He's over and above what we could ask or think. And I'm so thankful that we get a message every week. Jill Berry usually delivers us up a wonderful message. Inspiring, you know, because you really need money in this world. And if you're hearing messages about increasing your faith, then God's got this. He's got your finances, and if you can trust Him and just trust Him, like He said, He's got this. He'll take care of you. And so there are four ways to give in our church. I think the kiosk is it working? No kiosk. So there's envelopes in front of the chair in front of you, and you can make your checks out to Ascend Church, cash, and we have online giving and text giving. Jill likes the text giving. And we can have the ushers go ahead and bring up the offering buckets. Okay.
Let me pray over it. Praise the Lord. Like Anna and Tom, you know, you've been such faithful givers and tithers at our church for so many years, and you've seen God's blessing in so many ways.
Yes.
I mean, I think about when the house you're living in now, you started out renting that house. Am I right?
Yes.
You were renting the house.
Yeah.
25 years ago?
Abel was two.
Let's not get into how many years it was. But
long time
ago. You started renting the house.
Correct.
And then the owner came to you and said, would you like to buy the house? Was it like $2,000 a month or something like that?
We were paying rent. That was
You were paying $2,000 in rent. And you ended up taking over the house, right? He wanted you to take the house. You took over the payment.
And it doubled the rent payment.
It doubled the rent.
Yeah.
But now you're living in a house on the Indian River that's worth a couple of million, I don't know, $2-3 million, right? And that was a blessing that just came at you.
Yes.
Then your husband Tom is sitting in the yard, and you've got all those beautiful palm trees, and he's looking at the palm trees, and he gets an idea to make a fan that looks like a palm branch, a leaf. And he sketches it up. And he never made a fan in his life. But he ended up, long story short, he had that fan patented and manufactured. It became the biggest selling fan blade in the history of the industry in America.
In Home Depot,
sold millions and millions in Home Depot, right?
Home Depot.
And I can stand here and for literally I could stand here an hour and tell you all the things that have happened in Tom and Anna's life because they've been faithful and because they've been givers. And I'm telling you, when you're faithful and you're a giver, no matter what happens, you know, man, God's with me. He's got this and he's going to take care of me. And you've seen God's faithfulness the last 25 years.
Go back and look and remember, oh, we're here again, but he did it before. So you don't... stress as much.
He's going to do it again.
Yeah, he's
going to
do it.
Amen.
A good word today.
And I love what you said, man. I don't regret one dime I've given to the kingdom of God. I don't remit one dime that I've tied. I don't regret. Because you know why? I'm laying up treasure in heaven for eternity. I've got a lot of things I've bought on this earth that I regret. I look at my closet. Like, what was I thinking about when I bought that thing? What was I wore that two times. I don't regret a dime I've given into the kingdom of God. Because not a moment, not a dime of it, a penny of it was wasted. And all the people that came to know the Lord because of my giving, I'm going to meet them in heaven one day, and there's rewards in heaven one day. Let me tell you right now, tithing, man, if you don't tithe, I can't even tell you the blessings, the good things that happen when you honor the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Anna. We love you. Did a great job. Praise the Lord. So I trust you're ready to give today. Say, I'm ready. Say, I believe in tithing. We talk about trusting in God. You see, giving your worries to God is a way you show you trust Him. Can I tell you, tithing is showing you trust God. Tithing, 10% of your income, is showing God, I trust you. I put you first. Amen? Let me pray right now. Hold your giving, your offering, your tithe in your hand. I want to pray over you. Father, I thank you for the faithful givers and tithers in this church. I thank you, Lord. I pray for them. I thank you for the winners of heaven that are open above them. I thank you for pouring blessing upon them. I thank you, Father, for goodness, good things that come chasing after them, blessings that are overtaking them. Thank you that you rebuke the devourer, that you divinely protect them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, ushers. I believe you can go ahead. I just want to thank all of our wonderful volunteers who served in God's house today. Won't you please give a big round of applause and show your thanks to our media team, our ushers, our kids workers and helpers, everyone who served. We appreciate you. Don't forget, my wife has a Zoom Bible study every Wednesday, 10 a.m., 7 p.m. Every Wednesday, I hear her there doing a Zoom Bible study. And we have a night of prayer and worship every second Thursday. So not this Thursday, but the next one. Stand up with us as we go right now. Tell your neighbor, God's got this. I'm glad you were here today. Invite somebody. Bring somebody next week. We'll see you then.
Isn't she lovely?
Come on.
Isn't she wonderful? Life is Aisha. God knows from heaven above. I can't believe what God has done. To him he gives life to one. Isn't she lovely?
Thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.